We're going to take a look at the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us that a shor niskal, that means a shor that killed a human being, is put to death, but it has to go through a process of judgment, which means that it has to be judged in a court of 23 judges. Then the Mishnah goes on to speak about six species of very dangerous animals. We'll go through the list in a minute, but the Mishnah says that likewise, these six species, if any of these animals kill a human being, they'll have to be condemned in a court of 23 judges. Just like the Shor HaNiskal. But that's the opinion of the first Tana, the Tana Kama. The Chachomim say that there's no difference between a shor, an ox that kills a human being, or any of the other animals. And the list of the animals includes the zev, the ari, the dove, the namer, the bardalus. Rashi's not sure what a bardalus is, but the French seems to mean it's a cheetah, and then finally a nachash. And again, according to Tana Kama, these animals, if they kill a human being, have to be condemned in front of a court of 23 judges, just like a shor niskal. However, the Mishnah records Rabbi Eliezer. He disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer kol hakodim lahargan zacha. We're not going to wait for Bezdin. Leave Bezdin out until you schlep the animal to Bezdin and bring witnesses and go through a judgment of 23 judges. In the meantime, this animal is roaming the streets. It's a very dangerous animal. Kol hakodim lahargan zacha. The quicker you are to kill the animal, the more merit you have. Now, what does that mean? Does Rabbi Eliezer mean to say that we kill these animals just like this? I mean, in other words, or do we wait till they kill someone? What would you say? I mean, any like kind of knee-jerk response? What would you say?
Just
what would you say intuitively? Should we wait till they, you know, one of these lions, you know, kill somebody?
Or in the public domain where people frequent, you can just kill them.
What happens if somebody has it in his backyard? Is it safe?
It's not safe, but it's not your rechush. That's not your.
So the question is, does he own it or does he not own it? In other words, what we're asking is, can you legally, according to Torah law, own a ferocious animal? For example, we're going to see later that Rabbi Nosson, one of the Tanoim, says that if you keep a kelev ra, that's a rabid dog, in your house, then you violate a lotase, which is called lotamad al damriacha. You're holding on to an animal that's dangerous, and you have to put such an animal to death. We're not going to take any chances. We're not going to lock it up and put it in a cage. So let's take a look at the Gemara here on Daf Tesvav Amid Beis. Omer Eish Lakish, it's about, I would say, halfway down from the top. Do you have a Gemara Sanhedrin? Again, I always make the announcement, you have to bring a Gemara Sanhedrin. I can't supply that for you. So just listen, Baal Peh, if you don't have it. Omer Eish Lakish.
Can you show me here, please?
Yeah, well, as soon as we get to Yaakov Ashrati, right now we're learning Sanhedrin.
I thought it was this.
Yeah, not that. Or Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the following. Vahu, when do we put these animals to death, any of these animals? Shehe Misu. They've already killed somebody. Avalohe Misu, lo. If they haven't yet killed anybody, we cannot put them to death. So the Gemara says, Alma, what we see from Reish Lakish, Kasavri holds, Yeshlem Tarbus, these animals can be trained, the Yeshlem Bailim, and therefore they have owners. There's private ownership over a lion. Might be good news for Africans, I don't know. That's where the lions hang out. We don't see too many lions here, but... So can you own a lion? You know, if you've been to the circus, you've seen lions that jump through hoops. and there are fires around the hooves. And there are all sorts of ways of training animals. So Reish Lakish says that if a person spends a lot of money to buy his pet lion or his pet wolf or his pet grizzly bear, that's called a dove, and he claims that he's going to train his grizzly bear. I've never seen a trained grizzly bear. And the question now is, legally, according to Halacha, is he the owner of that grizzly bear, and we can't touch it? So Reish Lakish says yes. Yeshlem Tarbus, if the man claims that he can domesticate and discipline these animals, that's his headache, but he's legally...
You can domesticate a lion.
We're going to soon see Rabbi Yochanan in just a minute, but right now we're learning Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says you can domesticate a lion. Sounds like a miraculous thing,
you
but they're lion trainers.
You can, they're all lions.
All right, so we're going to write a letter to Reish Lakish that Brian Levin agrees with Reish Lakish. Okay, so that Haskama will get him smicha, I'm sure. The Yeshlem Bailiv, and therefore, since you can train these animals as wild as they are, you are considered the owner of the animal. No one has the right to kill them. Therefore, Reish Lakish says, for Hushay Miso. Now, at some point, at least as far as this particular lion, we'll call him Lave the Lion, you know, he's proven himself to be a killer lion, despite all the protestations of this lion trainer, the animal killed someone. There are famous cases, by the way, of people who trained animals, and 30 years later they were killed by the animal. I don't mean that specific animal, but animals that they trained. For example, an alligator. I don't know why an alligator was not mentioned in this Mishnah, because an alligator is a pure killer. There's no way you can train an animal. If you've ever seen the Indians down in Florida, you know, they have these shows with the alligators. Those are not trained alligators. It's just that the Indians are so agile. I'm talking about the original American Indians. I mean, these are not the original ones, but these are Mexicans who speak Spanish. But in any event, these guys are able to move around so fast that they trick the alligator. But an alligator, you don't want to meet an alligator, in a dark alley in a dark night. You know what I'm
I think cheetahs, well, there were cheetahs in this area, so it could be just
before. Really? Here in Israel?
In
oh my goodness. I know about hyenas, and I don't know if we have hyenas.
Hyenas all over.
Yeah, but I don't know if hyenas are dangerous animals.
So the reason it doesn't mention alligators.
Cheetahs.
Rabbi Yochanan says, Afal pishalohim misu, we're not going to wait until these animals kill someone. You're allowed to put them to death. And again, if we go back to the mission of Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol HaKodem Zocha, the one who gets the first shot at killing this animal, he's going to get merit. Alma, so we see the Rabbi Yochanan, because Savar holds, Ein Lam Tarbus. There's no way you can train any of these animals. The Ein Lam Bailam, and therefore they have no owners. No one could claim ownership of an animal that's a dangerous animal. And the first person to kill that animal, Zocha. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, I could sneak into your private area, you know, your backyard at night, and there's an animal there, a very dangerous animal that's caged up, and I can kill the animal. You don't have any ownership. The halacha does not recognize any valid ownership.
Yeah, but you still have to trespass. Yeah.
I think you'd be allowed to trespass in this case, to kill a ferocious animal. That's called pikuach nefesh. I mean, we're not going to wait till somebody gets mauled to death by these animals. According to Rabbi Yochanan, don't buy into any trainer who tells you that he can domesticate these animals. Now again, Brian agrees with Reish Lakish, but we'll see that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan.
Listen, you know, you can think you've trained even politicians. You know,
yeah, like that's the hardest trained, thing in the world.
You know, nothing's for definite, but I've seen trained animals.
Okay, but you never know what's going to be down the line. And now, you know, we can't take a chance with human life. One thing about halach I have to tell you about, the value of human life is infinite. It's just no way of even... For example, all these kind of sports that you see, and we're influenced by them, you know, what they call extreme sports. You know, people jumping off of mountains and people skiing off of the crazy ski slope. In America, they have a craziness called car racing. They know up front statistically how many people will be killed in the car race. In Spain, they have something called letting the bull go free, in the streets. And then the people on the streets of Spain, after the bullfight, they have to try to... you know, move around so that this, you know, that they can outsmart the bull, and at the end people die from it. Yeah, this is the crazy society that we live in. But halacha has a different approach. The halacha says lo tamar al dam riach. We cannot stand idly and lest somebody, in fact, risk taking, which is something I discuss here on Thursday mornings with Rabbi Myers' group, is something that's absolutely forbidden in halacha. Now, what constitutes a risk? That's a different question. I'm not here to answer that question. What exactly is a statistical probability? For example,
what about parachute
back in the day,
jumping?
If you parachute wanted to parachute, if you wanted to donate your kidney, right? So the question is, are you allowed to subject yourself to that risk? Today already, kidney transplants are so common that the risk factor is very low. But back in the day, you know, turn the clock back 10, 20 years ago, you know, if you gave up a kidney, there was any surgery has a certain element of risk. I'm not sure if you're allowed to subject yourself to any surgery. For a woman, for example, cosmetic surgery is a big issue in halacha. And if you require full anesthesia, you know, for the whole body's out, there's an extra risk involved. So the halacha is not excited about risk-taking. In fact, according to one opinion, and Rabbi Akiva seems to subscribe to that opinion, even for the sake of saving someone else, you're not allowed to risk your life.
Jumping in water,
right? Yeah, how many people have died jumping into, you know, to try to save people? I remember a story of a rabbi down in off the shores of Florida. Yeah.
I know someone.
Right, and then that story, I'm going back in history. But in the story that I have to tell you, the rabbi was drowning. Somebody went in to try to save the rabbi. He drowned. A third person went in to try to save the person who tried to save the rabbi. He drowned. Three people drowned. I'll tell you a story about Wallbounds. Wallbounds is a chain of groceries in America. And there was a Wallbounds on Avenue V and Ocean Avenue. I remember this from my childhood. There's a fire that broke out. 11 firemen lost their lives. During 7-Eleven, I'm not sure exactly how many first responders died. Does anybody know the numbers? I mean, a lot.
There's a lot, but you have it all the time because...
It's a very interesting thing.
You know, what
thing.
Do you do if a person's been captured and you've got to go and release him like we used to?
So that's the question of Uganda. You know, and basically, if you read Rav Avadya Yosef's Tshuva about Uganda, he basically says that you're not allowed to send soldiers into Uganda and danger their lives. At the end of the day, he allowed it for a different reason, because he felt that terrorism is considered Mulchama. That's a radical Kiddush of Rav Avadya. And therefore, in Milchama, we go out, even if we have to put our lives on the line. That's the nature of the mitzvah of Milchama.
There's no doubt about that.
But in any event, you know, Rabbi Yochanan is taking a very harsh stand. He's saying, we're not going to allow you to own these animals. You know, if Goyim want to own these animals, that's their business. We can't control the Goyim. I'm not even sure, by the way, in halachic terms, if Rabbi Yochanan would allow a non-Jew to own these dangerous animals. You know, it might be Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, because one of the mitzvahs for Ben Noach is Lo Tirtzach. And included under Lo Tirtzach is any situation of what's called Gram Ritzich, if you cause someone's death. But be that as it may, for Jews, Rabbi Yochanan says, Reish Lakish has a different approach. You can train these animals. Yesh lem tarbus. Yeah, but up until a certain point, once the animal proves himself, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty. But once he proves himself guilty, then we're going to put him to death. And Rabbi Eliezer says, we're not going to wait till we've gathered together 23 judges with the longer buds and payers. We got to kill him on the spot. This is a killer animal. So forget about tarbus. You know, you could have many lions that maybe you can domesticate, but this lev, the lion, he is a killer lion and he's proven himself. Rabbi Yochanan says that all these animals are guilty until proven innocent, and there's no way of proving them innocent. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Tonight we have a Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer Omer Kol HaKodim LaHargam Zacha. Zacha means, in the Gemara's Havamina at this point, that he gets some financial benefit out of it. What financial benefit do you get out of killing a lion? Well, I don't know if you can eat the meat, because it's treif, but you can take the hides, you know, can certainly sell them. You know, people make these trophies out of lion heads or different kinds of heads of animals after they hunt them. So Bishleim L'Rab Yochanan, I understand the current Rab Yochanan, Kol HaKodem L'Hargan Zacha means L'Mai Zacha Zacha Li Oran. He can take the hides of this animal. El Reish Lakish Mai Zacha Kaman Shehemis, if we're talking about an animal after it killed, is Shavinu Rabbanu Kiman Degavra Dinayu Vasir Ba'anon, the din of Ashar Niskal, which has to be put to death after a judgment of 23 judges, is that you can't benefit at all from the shor. After the shor is killed, no one's allowed to take the hides. And the same thing the Gemara says applies in these species of animals after they killed someone. Reish Lakish is saying we can only kill them after they killed. But what's zacha? So the Gemara answers, my zacha, zacha l'shamayim. He gets brownie points up in heaven. In other words, he took it upon himself to fulfill this mitzvah of lo tamen al dam riecha, and he killed someone's lion or tiger or cheetah or wolf and bear or a serpent. You know, we're talking about a dangerous serpent, and he's going to get points up in shamayim. Again, what will he get out of the animal? Can he use the hides? Can't even use the hides. And the Gemara ends this whole sugya with a Tanya Kavos in the Reish Lakish. So Brian, you're going to be a happy camper here, because the Gemara actually quotes a brisa to support Reish Lakish. Echad shor shehevis v'yachad behema v'chaya shehemisu b'chof gimel. Rabbi Lezer Omer, shor shehevis b'esrim v'shlosho shar behema v'chaya shehemisu kol akodim l'hargon zochem en shemayim. So Rabbi Lezer holds that a shor was singled out. In the case of a shor, the Torah had a certain compassion. We're not going to allow you to kill the shor. We have to judge the shor, and we're going to bring it in front of a court of 23 judges. We'll have to adduce evidence, and then we'll kill the shor. In the case of the other animals, once they put someone to death, we have to do away with them. We have to kill them, and we're going to completely circumvent
them. Once they killed someone.
Or
injured someone.
No. Not talking about injury, we're talking about killing.
Yeah, but
because again, our discussion is the following. Do we need a judgment of 23 judges? We have a principle that when we put an animal to death, it gets the same judiciary requirements that apply to a human being that has to be put to death. So just like when you condemn a human being to death for a capital crime, whatever the capital crime was, you need a bezin of what? 23 judges, a Sanhedrin Akhtana as it's called. So too when we condemn an animal to death, like a shor that killed someone, we need a bezdin of 23 judges. What about the other animals? So here at Belezer says, in the other animals, they're basically ferocious animals. We're not going to wait for bezdin over here. If they killed somebody, that's how Reish Lakish interprets it, just the kolakodim, lahargon, zacha, just go ahead and kill them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we're not even going to wait till they kill someone, because la b'nei tarbus, they don't have a status of tarbus, there's no way you can domesticate them. We don't trust anyone, the greatest trainer in the world. And therefore, ain't land bailim. You can't claim ownership over these animals. The first guy to kill him is Zoha, and he gets the hides as well.
So you can just
what is the prohibition of killing an animal that hasn't done anything? Is it tzar b'lechaim or?
No, we're talking about gzela. We're talking about stealing. If an animal is walking through the streets, kill it. I don't care. I mean, it's tzar b'lechaim maybe. You have killed it in a nice way, but For hides, for example, there's no Isur Tzar Bali Khan.
The municipality, for example, poisons cats, right? So, I mean, is there a problem with that?
They poison cats?
Yeah, because
they're like, it's a great idea.
There's
except I think, you know, cats are helpful for the environment.
Yeah, but sometimes
they kill.
They become too many and then.
They multiply too fast. Yeah. In this neighborhood, you can't walk five. How do you say it in your language? We call it feet. How do you say it? Meters or something? You can't walk 5 meters without seeing a cat. And they look at you right in the eyes. Did you notice that? That's why they call it cat among, right? And they're very ferocious, some of these cats. You know, I don't mess around. You know, most cats will run away from you. In my case, I run away from the cats.
It's interesting that Ant differentiates between these animals, that some are more violent and some can't.
Well, yes. Well, for example, you could talk about a goat, for example. If a goat is angry, it could get violent. But a goat, which is called in Hebrew an aes, is not listed on this list. Yeah. Why? Because that's called b'nei tarbus. No one is going to say, I can walk into your backyard and kill your goat. However, if you have an animal which fits into one of these six species, then I'm going to kill it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not going to wait until it kills someone. It's la b'nei tarbus, v'yein lem bailim, you can't own it, and that's
so
it.
He was against having zoos.
Who?
Rabbi Yochanan.
Was against who?
Having a zoo. Because
how do you spell that word? Hazu?
No, Z double O.
Oh, having a zoo. Oh, a zoo. Yeah, yeah. He didn't believe in zoos. You mean, yeah, but how many zoos can you... How can you run a zoo if you can't have any of these six animals? No one's going to come visit your zoo. By the way, yeah, go ahead.
Are any of them kosher?
Are any of them kosher? Let's go. I don't think so, because they're all chayos. Chayos are basically treif. There are very few chayos.
A buffalo would be kosher.
A what?
A buffalo.
A buffalo might be kosher, but a buffalo, I don't think a buffalo is any different than a shar. Now, if a buffalo is a shar, I'm not sure, but if it is, a shar is an ox, I think.
Shar
might be a male bull. I don't know if they've seen a bull and an ox. I never understood that. You have to go to a biology class for that. But be that as it may, in the case of a buffalo, we're not going to allow you to touch a buffalo until Chas V'Shalom kills a human being, and then we're still not going to allow you to kill it. If it's a shor, we have to take it to Bezdin with the judgment of 23. So we basically have three categories here now. We have one category called shor with its own unique halachas. We have on the other polar extreme these very ferocious animals that fit into six categories, six species. And in the middle we have other animals. What's the deal with the other animals? Well, in the case of the other animals, like a goat, I'm giving that example. If you see that the goat kills someone, now the goat has proven itself to be guilty, and then it could very well be that everybody would agree in such a case that we kill the animal. We're not going to wait for Bezdin. Why? Because it's not a shor. In the case of a shor, the Torah singles out a shor. Maybe the Torah has compassion on the shor. And the Torah says, we're not going to allow you to kill that shor until there's a psak Bezdin of 23 judges. And the other animals, we're not going to allow you to touch anyone's animal. You can't say, well, I think his goat is a very dangerous goat, I'm going to go in there and kill it. No. If the goat kills someone, then Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol HaKodim V'Hargan Zocha. Then we have these six species, which according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're not even going to wait until any of these animals kill someone. We're going to kill them on the spot.
So what's the difference between these six species and the opinion that says you can kill them if a goat killed someone, you can kill them on the spot?
So your question is excellent according to Reish Lakish. Let's go through it. If you're like Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan is going to say in any of the other animals, other than these six, you're not allowed to kill them. Why? Because they are B'nai Tarbus. They can be domesticated. Once they kill someone, then you put it to death. These other six species, according to Rabbi Yochanan, put them to death and don't even wait until they kill someone. So that's crystal clear. But Alan is asking, what do we do with Reish Lakish? Because Reish Lakish holds that even in the cases of these six species, you're not allowed to kill them until they kill someone. Well, that's exactly what happens to an aes, a goat, or any of the other animals. Yep. So according to Reish Lakish, why does the Mishnah single out these species?
It's obvious to me. A goat is generally a very pleasant animal. A lion, believe you me, they're not placid. Neither is an alligator. Neither is a snake. Neither is a
cheetah.
A cheetah.
A wolf. So therefore what? So I'm looking for a halachic nafkimina. Are you going to say, let's kill the lion? You have your own private lion. Should I kill it?
We've got problems with the Europeans. And you can't go and kill a European, but you can go and kill an alligator.
Basically, maybe they fall into the...
But again, according to Reish Lakish, you can't even kill a lion.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I really didn't.
And you were waving the flag of Reish Lakish, then all of a sudden you dropped the ball. According to Reish Lakish, you can't kill someone else's lion. Only when the animal kills somebody. And therefore the same halacha that applies to a lion would apply to a goat. Because in a goat's case, he can't kill someone else's goat until he kills somebody. Once he kills somebody, Reish Lakish says, we can put him to death. And we're not even going to go through
Reish Lakish.
So what is the difference between a lion and a goat? Yeah, I feel like Fiddler on the Roof.
A lion is a goat, but
it's a robber. You automatically assume a lion is a robber. All these species are robber. Like a goat.
Well, that's true according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says these animals floating around, kill them. Don't wait until a baby, whatever.
So,
but according to Reish Lakish, we can't kill even these ferocious animals, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, until they actually prove themselves to be guilty and they kill somebody.
So what's the point of the category? Is that what you're
exactly. Well, that's Alan's question. And that question is raised by the Yad Ramah. Do you remember I told you that there's one Rishon who took it upon himself to learn Masechta the Sanhedrin and interpret it? It was his life's project. That's the Yad Ramah. He was a Sfaradi who lived about 1,000 years ago. And he asked this question. And he basically attacks Rashi because Rashi says that in the cases of these six species, we consider them b'nei tarbus, according to Reish Lakish. That's why I'm not allowed to kill them. But Rashi says once they kill someone, then they've established themselves as a lav ben tarbus, meaning we assume that they were ben tarbus, but now we find out that they're not ben tarbus. Well, that's exactly the same as the case of a goat. We assume a goat is a ben tarbus and it could be domesticated.
Could be with,
but if the goat proves himself to be an angry goat, then we're going to and he kills someone, we're going to put him to death. So the Yad Ramah says, according to Rashi, what is the difference between all these animals and the six species? Because any of the animals have to be put to death and can be put to death without Bezdin if they actually prove themselves to be a killer.
Putting them together with these six animals, so basically don't go and kill, but beware of them, stay away.
Okay, if the Mishnah was addressing, you know, your presentation would not be appropriate from a Masechta to Sanhedrin, it would be appropriate from a Masechta to Bava Kamma. You know, if you were learning Masechta to Bava Kamma, there are all sorts of laws of self-protection, and therefore we would say that these six species have to be mentioned in the Mishnah so that we protect ourselves, and special caution. But in Masechta Sanhedrin, we have only two issues, and that is, number one, do we require Beis Din and bring testimony and evidence until we can finally issue a verdict? And if so, we need a Beis Din of 23 judges. Or no, we can kill the animal after it's proven itself to be a killer animal, and we're not going to wait for Beis Din. Those are the issues. We're not talking about moral issues of you know, giving people good advice about how they should protect themselves. You know, next time you see Lape the Lion, you know, make sure you stay away. That could be appropriate for Masechta Bava Kamma, but it's not appropriate for Masechta Sanhedrin. So here's where the Yad Ramah comes up with a very unique theory. And he says the following, that what Rabbi Eliezer wants to point out is that there's a special status to a shor. And basically, Rabbi Eliezer is pointing out that all the animals, some are more ferocious than others, might potentially kill a human being. Even a sheep could possibly kill a human being, could kill a baby or something. And in that case, we have to put the animal to death. And we're not even going to require this. The point of Rabbi Eliezer is that don't confuse shor with all the other animals. In the case of a shor, even though the shor killed someone, we will not put the animal to death until there's a verdict of a bezdin of 23.
What's the logic of that anyway?
What is the logic? So I'm not sure if I can answer your question, Alan, but I can answer a slightly different question. How do we know such a thing? Where does the Torah tell us that a shor is singled out? So we have now a parsha called Shor HaNiskal. The Torah says that if a shor kills a human being, HaShor Yisakel V'gam Ba'olav Yumos. And the Gemara derives from that pasuk. This is what's called a hekesh. Are you familiar with the hekesh? When the Torah gives us two dinim in one verse or in two verses that it continues. So we equate the two. There's an analogy. That's called a hekesh. There's a hekesh here at the end of the pasuk. It says, Gam ba'ol of yumos. And we're referring to the owner of the animal. And he's going to be put to death. And at the beginning of the pasuk, it says, Hashar yisakel. The shar is put to death. Why did the Torah place these two in the same verse? To create a hekesh. That just like in the case of a human being, we cannot put a human being to death unless he's condemned by a bezdin of 23 judges, so too shor yisakel, but only if he's condemned by 23 judges. And herein lies the machlokes in our Gemara. Is the Torah saying something about shor, and only shor, because only shor is written in the pasuk that equates shor with misas abaylim? Or is shor typical of other animals? Says the Yad Ramah, this is going to be the issue here in our sugi. Would it be possible to define shor as an archetype, as a paradigm that represents an entire group of animals. Why would we say such a thing? I mean, the Torah says shor. What gives you the right to expand the bounds beyond shor? Says the Adrama something fascinating. If you open up the Aseres HaDibros, one of the 10 Aseres HaDibros in Parashas Yisro is Shabbos. And there the Torah commands us to allow our animals to rest. And what's called Shvisas Behemto means we're not allowed to work our animals on Shabbos. In that pasuk, the Torah mentions a shor. And then it says, and all your animals, or something like it. I don't remember the pasuk. We can open up a chumash. And that sets up a hekesh between shor and other animals, which means that on Shabbos, just like you have to let your shor, your ox, rest, so you can't use it to set it up mechanically that it should plow your field on Shabbos, so too you're not allowed to work any other animals. And that hekesh, if we attach it to the pasuk of Hashor Yisakel Vagamba Olav Yumas, allows us to expand the definition of shor to include other animals. And that means that even in the case of other animals, we're not going to be able to put them to death unless we have a condemnation in a Beis Din of 23. Why? Because when the Torah equates shor with bialim, the word shor is typical. It's like, you know, in Shabbos we have avos and toldos. The shor is like an av, and the tolda, an archetype, it represents all other animals like a shor. Any animal that's like a shor, it's an animal that maybe you work with. It's an animal that's part of your, you know, part of your workforce. It's domesticated. Any of the other animals are included on the shor. Shor becomes an archetype. Beautiful. If shor becomes an archetype, then what we're going to say is in all other animals similar to shor, like for example a goat or a sheep or something like that, which are animals that we use and we domesticate them and we shear off the wool from the animal, or we take the ays and we take milk from the goat, or whatever you do with the goat. In those cases, like shor, is kemisas habayilim. The Torah says we have compassion, so to speak, on these animals, and we're not allowed to kill them unless they are judged by a Beis Din of 23. So for those of you who are in favor of what we call in America, I don't know what you call it in other countries, ASPCA, which is that's the organization for animal rights. So if you're in favor of animal rights, the Torah seems to be on your side. The Torah is very careful about animal rights. Imagine, you want to put this animal to death after it killed a human being, and you have to wait until a judgment is handed down by the highest court of Sanhedrin Akhtana. I mean, there is such a thing as the 71 court. So this is going to be the shita of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to say that with regard to these six species of dangerous animals, if they commit murder, can put them to death. Don't even wait 5 minutes. Call it Kodem Zaka. And you'll get brownie points in Shomayim. I don't want to say the words Good Samaritan because that comes from a different religion, but you get the point. But with regard to all other animals, which are domesticated animals, or can be domesticated, that's called Bnei Tarbus, those animals belong to the same category as Shor, by virtue of the Hekesh in the Parsha in Yisro. Well, if you open up to Perek Yutes, open up to the 19th chapter, the 20th chapter of Shmos, if you don't mind. And then we can look in Yisro, in Vaskanan, if you like. But in any event, the Torah there spells out shor, but then it talks about other animals. And it says that your domesticated work animals have to get a day of rest. Another example of animal rights. Even a shor has to observe Shabbos, right? Even an ox, even a goat.
So then we have only two categories.
Exactly. But now what we're saying is that all the other categories of animals fit into the category of shor. And the Torah says with regard to shor that you're not allowed to kill the shor until you prove the shor to have been a killer shor. And for that you need a judgment of 23 judges. That's going to apply to all other animals with the exception of the big six. You call the big five, but here it's the big six.
With witnesses?
With witnesses. So as soon as the animal kills, you better put something on the animal. You know, like attach a... have you ever seen in Switzerland, you go see the cows, you know, it's so beautiful. Each cow, you know, has its number on it and they pierce the ears. You know, it's like an Eben Nirtza, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. It's not in Mitra, I don't see it.
Vishnu sometimes is, it does mention Shara.
It's in Vatikana.
Oh, okay, great.
So I don't know,
Visharcha, right? V'chol b'mtecha. So Visharcha, v'chol b'mtecha means in all your domesticated animals. So in those cases, like a sheep or a goat, you can't put the animal to death until you have a judgment of 23 judges. Then we get to the ferocious six. Those animals, as soon as they commit murder, says Reish Lakish, put them to death and circumvent Beis Din. You don't need Beis Din for them. Now, what's the deal with the sixth of those species? What was number six on the list, if you recall?
The serpent,
the Nachash. So if you take a look, Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah says that, we'll read Rabbi Akiva, Misasan bi Esrim v'shalosh, that these animals will be put to death with a judgment of 23. So the Gemara says, Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva just reiterated exactly what it said in the Tanakama, that every animal, even though it killed someone, needs a judgment of 23 judges. Shar is indicative of all animals, according to Tanakama. So the Gemara answers, Ika Beinayu, the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama is Nachash. The Nachash will be put to death without a Beis Din. Even though, with regard to all the other ferocious animals, the five species, Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Tanakama, we don't put them to death. You cannot put a lion to death for killing a human being until it's judged in a Beis Din. But with regard to a Nachash, Rabbi Akiva accepts the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, kill the Nachash, don't wait for Beis Din. The Nachash is in a special category. Now what I'd like to begin at least tonight, I don't think we're going to finish it, is this essay here in the Gevuras Yisuk. So now, Yaakov, you can take take up these pages.
Yeah.
And this is the page you want to start.
Thank you.
Okay, that should say Reish Yud Zayin. What do you say? Not tonight. You know, if you want to study this sugya over the course of time, I wouldn't mind. It could be a three-part series. You know, the Nachash has a special curse from the divine being himself, that he is the enemy of man. And again, you can go to all sorts of places down in Miami. They have something called Parrot Jungle. You know, when you see the guy who has this cobra, you know, that's 6 feet long and 6 feet fat, and it's around his neck and all that stuff. But the truth is that I have a feeling that they do something to the snake. I don't know. Maybe they change its. Or maybe they feed it. I don't know. You have to know. I'm not a snake psychologist. I don't know enough. But I think if you feed a snake, then for a certain period of time, when the snake has a full belly, it's not dangerous. I don't know. In any event, if you take a look at this article, which is in the Gevuras Yitzchak, and you'll see it on page Reish Yud Zayin, which is the number you'll see on the top left, and we're in the second column, the left-hand column. How many people have this? Did I make enough copies?
Yeah,
you have it?
There's a few more.
Well, that could be what you see. There might be another page, because I copied two pages. I'm not sure. If you have Reish Yud Tes, then you have the second page as well, because that's on Reish Yud Tes. Now, let me summarize the first paragraph. You remember that I mentioned to you before the Yad Ramah, and the Yad Ramah is summarized here in this paragraph. So we don't have to go over this again. Hopefully it's still fresh in our minds. He just basically gives you an overview of the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Reish Lakish says we cannot put the animal to death until it kills someone, and then we can circumvent the need for Beis Din. Rabbi Yochanan says we'll put the animal to death even before the animal kill someone. We're not going to wait until it's too late and then do damage control. We're going to prevent what could be catastrophe. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afal pishalo heimisu kol kodem lahargon zochu." Now, it's clear from the Ramah, just the Yad Ramah. I just want to summarize and emphasize this point that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish is whether or not you're allowed to raise these animals. Reish Lakish is of the opinion b'nei tarbus ninu, they can be domesticated, hence you're allowed to raise them. And the reason I emphasize that is that according to Reish Lakish, if you're allowed to own a lion, for example, the reason for that is you're not violating the Torah prohibition of lotasim damim b'beisecha, which applies to a rabid dog, for example, or even if you have a ladder that's faulty and somebody might not know and it'll climb up the ladder and fall and die. So the Torah says lotasim damim b'beisecha. Reish Lakish holds yesh lem tarbus. And if yesh lem tarbus, it means you're allowed to raise them. And if you're allowed to raise them, then no one's allowed to kill them because you own them. You have valid ownership. You pay a lot of money for a lion. I don't know what the lions go for in the market. I'm sure they're not cheap. And Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that even if they haven't killed anyone yet, you're not allowed to raise them because they don't have tarbus. And if they don't have tarbus, we don't believe and rely on your domestication, your training. Therefore, lo tosin dom ve'secha kicks in. And once it's lotasim ve'secha, then nobody is prohibited from killing them because no one is causing anyone any loss because the owner doesn't have ownership rights according to halacha. I don't care what he paid. He may have signed a check for 10,000 shekel to buy a grizzly bear, his own pet grizzly bear, but it's not ownership. The Torah doesn't recognize ownership. The whole enterprise of owning these ferocious animals is built on a violation of lotasim dom ve'secha. And don't tell me, says Rabbi Yochanan, that you've domesticated these animals. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, says you can domesticate them, you can train them, and therefore you can own them. And therefore the halach has to recognize the ownership rights, because there's no violation of lotasim dom ve'secha. By the way, and as a footnote, before we look at the paragraph of Hine, it's my own question. I'm perplexed about one thing. Let's say you buy a wild lion, right? Somebody catches a lion for you. You pay him a commission of a hefty sum of money. It's going to take a while until you train them. Even according to Reish Lakish, that these ferocious animals are trainable, they're b'nei tarbus, I don't understand what happens in the interim. Let me just throw out a number. Let's say it would take 6 months or 12 months to domesticate a lion. I mean, it's just throwing out a number. I'm picking it out of my head. What's the status of your ownership during that 12-month period? Are we going to say that the Torah anticipates up front that you will successfully train the animal and therefore you have ownership rights from day one? I don't know. It's just my own footnote. He's not going to discuss this question.
But if I had a deadly animal,
right,
and the government were in charge, like they are in charge of these sort of things, knowing that you have a dog, you have to have a license. If you have an animal, you have to have a license. Now these are under the six categories. How much money would you have to pay for insurance if he killed somebody? So he's talking like, you know, so maybe if he owns an animal, he's got to be prepared to pay a lot of money to cover his insurance. I mean, he's got a deadly animal.
Right.
It's not just a dog. I mean, just a dog. I mean, dog doesn't normally have that sort of thing. But
yeah,
deadly animal.
I would encourage him to speak to his insurance broker and spend a lot of money on insurance.
Well, so that beats that. So
I don't know. The halach is not going to dictate, you know, and mandate that he buy insurance. But I think you're right.
But not only insurance, but to have a deadly animal, you shouldn't be allowed to. I mean,
that's Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not going to believe you when you say you can train the animal. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish says, wait a minute, take a look at my circus. I've got bears that are jumping on, you know, or for acrobatic acts, and I've got lions that are jumping here and there. I got wolves that are making songs for you, you know, in the
but
circus,
it's under lock,
they do.
If it's under lock and key, in other words, they can't get out. If they get out, then they're...
So Reish Lakish would say, if it's under lock and key,
do what the hell you want. You can do what you want.
Correct, you can own it. And Rabbi Yochanan says there's no such thing as lock and key. We will not allow you to own these animals. As you say, the government will not give you license for these animals. By keeping these animals in your possession, you are violating the law of the orais of lotam and al tamriecha. Hence, you're not allowed to own these animals. You can't possess them. We don't recognize your ownership. And no one's going to protect your ownership rights. I don't care how much money you paid. Somebody could come in, kill the animal, and you have no recourse to force them to pay damages or sue him for damages. There's no damages on something that you can't own. As far as we're concerned, the animal that you're caging up is a hefker animal. It's ownerless. And that's the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. But again, don't forget the Shita Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that within the perspective of monetary law, which is called Dine Momenos, you have a right to claim, and we're going to believe you and rely on you, that you're going to contain the animal. You're going to lack it up, you're going to train it, and domesticate. That's called B'nai Tarbus. Hence, you own the animal. I can't come in and kill your animal, says Reish Lakish. Because what right do I have to do so? Ah, the animal went out and killed somebody? All is fair in love and war. Now we're going to kill the animal. We're not going to go through any sort of judgment here and Bezdin. Kol HaKodim V'Hargan Zocha.
I just want to answer your question. Maybe he acquires it that it's already trained from the Goy.
But would you agree that even Reish Lakish would agree that for the first 6 months he's violating Lo Samad El Dam Riach?
Unless he acquired a fully trained animal.
Right, I'm saying in a case where it wasn't fully trained.
Yeah.
He buys a lion cub and he prints it up and he trains it.
Right. Now in the next paragraph of Hine, the author of this essay is going to do something really interesting. He's going to take another sugya, a different masechta Bava Kamma, and he's going to posit these two sugyas, our sugya and Sanhedrin, see how the two sugyas interface. And he's got a Gemara Bava Kamma in the name of Rav Nosson that a person violates Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha if he maintains ownership over a kelev ra, over a dangerous dog. Now, when the Rambam codifies this halacha of the sugya bava kamma in Perek Zayin Hilchos Chovel HaMazik, he says the following: that if, let's say, you own a very dangerous animal, and this animal has to be put to death, I'm not allowed to kill your animal, says the Rambam, because if I do so, I've stolen a mitzvah from you.
Because you should
mitzvah to kill him.
You have possession of the animal.
Yeah.
You're violating Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha. You have a mitzvah to kill the animal. We'll have to see exactly what mitzvah it is to kill the animal, because Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha is just a lotus. But he says you've stolen his mitzvah. And the Rambam compares it to other cases where you steal someone else's mitzvah. Let's read the Rambam inside. Shor shaya omed lahariga mibneshu mazikas abrios. Okay, so we're talking about a belligerent shor, and it's proven itself over and over again, time after time. I went in and I killed your shor. I took a knife and I shechted it. He's got to pay damages for that. Why? And the dayanim, he says, will shots it up. They'll evaluate how much he should pay. Sharei hifkio milasos mitzvah. He made it impossible for the owner of the animal to fulfill the mitzvah. V'chein, misha shachat chaya o'ov. I shechted an animal. Now, this animal fits into one of two categories. Either it's a chaya or an oaf, as opposed to a behema. Because what's unique about chaya or an oaf is that the dam has to be covered. That's the mitzvah of what? Kisui hadam. Ba'acher v'kisa hadam. Shalom midas ha-shochet. Somebody comes along and he covers the dam. And he didn't ask me permission. I shechted the animal. I have a mitzvah kisui adam, and he stole my mitzvah. Chayav liten lo. He's got to pay him up for stealing a mitzvah. Did you ever think of that? There's such a thing as stealing a mitzvah from someone. You know, this mitzvah represents for me my ticket to Olam Haba, and he chapped the mitzvah. He stole it from me. V'chein horu shekola moneah baile milasos mitzvah saseh. Anyone who prevents, he steals or robs a mitzvah, saseh from a person, she'ein re'uyim lasosa, that he should be doing it, and kodam achav yasah, and he went ahead and took the initiative and he did the mitzvah, is mishalim l'baylam asorah zehuvim. It's interesting how you evaluate a mitzvah. 10 gold coins. I have a suspicion that these gold coins are worth a lot of money. Now, why is the Gemara Sitzah quote this halach, the sugya in Bava Kamma with the Rambam in Chovel HaMazik? Why is it relevant to us? What question do you, if you can anticipate, do you think he's going to ask? What did Rabbi Yochanan say in that sugya? Let's go over it again. There are six categories of ferocious animals. What did Rabbi Yochanan say?
Go kill them.
Wait a second. What do you mean go kill them? Kol HaKodim Zocha. Who should be killing this animal? The owner of the animal should be killing him.
And why would the owner purchase an animal to kill us and do our mitzvah? That owner's not interested in killing him.
Oh, so you want to say that maybe we're talking about a case where he's not interested, he's already made a statement. But that's
his responsibility. He's got responsibility.
He has responsibility.
Having a gun license.
He doesn't have a license.
No.
Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, there ain't no such thing as a license on these ferocious animals. So why does he say call a kodem izocha? Why not call up the guy and maybe have to notify him that he has a mitzvah here? He thinks, you know, he can. He's a big shot. He's going to be able to train this animal. But the halacha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that we don't believe that he can train the animal.
That's two mitzvahs. One's a love, one's an asay. The love is you're not allowed to own it. And killing it is the asay. So by him coming, he's not stealing the mitzvah. He's just being zaris. The other guy, he's violating the mitzvah, but he doesn't own the mitzvah to kill it. Everyone owns that mitzvah to kill it.
Excellent.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, he could have written the Gevura Yitzchak.
Oh.
It's unreal. I never would have thought of this. So first we have to ask the question, and then we'll get to your answer, Alan. What is the mitzvah? The Torah says, lo tam el dam reyecha. That's a lotas. Where is the mitzvah? So the Bir Agro, which you'll see on the next page, claims that the mitzvah comes under a pasuk that says ubi'arta hara mikirbecha, that you have to meet out, you have to eradicate evil. And therefore when Reb Nosson made his statement, lo yigadol adam kelev bein rabbi tofeso, what he means is that not only is he in violation of a lotas for holding on to this rabid dog, but he even has violated a mitzvah saseh. You know, he's not what we call bittul aseh, means non-fulfillment of an essay. And he quotes the Rambam. You'll see this on page Reish Yud Ches. It has a very good smell to it. And it says that im agadol kelev ra lo rak sha'over b'lotas et lo tosim dom zekin. Not only that, ki im ram yalei mitzvah saseh lahosir michshol, there's a positive command to remove any sort of danger. But what is this mitzvah? So again, according to what the Vilna Gaon understood, if I'm in possession of a dangerous michshol, that's my responsibility to get rid of it. And if Beis Din will have to notify me about that responsibility and encourage me and endorse it, fine. You're not allowed to take that mitzvah away from me and kill the animal, because that's my mitzvah. But yet, if you take a look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Rotzeach, the Rambam writes, Echad gag, v'echad kol dover sheyesh bo sakono, v'roy sheikoshel bo odom v'yomus, kigon shahoyselo be'er o bar b'chatzero. He's got a very deep and dangerous pit, or I don't know what you call it in your language, a ditch, I don't know what word they use. And somebody could fall in and die, and he leaves it exposed. Is then the Rambam says that he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. Chayev lasos lem chuyo gvoy, has to create some sort of a fence around this bar, or alternatively has to put a very heavy kisui on the bar that no one will fall in there. And then the Rambam goes on to say that kol michshol, anything that's dangerous, the yeshbo sakonis nefosh, somebody could die. Mitzvahs ase, I emphasize those words, lahasiro, to remove them. This is the mitzvah of ubi'arta hara mikirbecha. Now the question becomes, who's obligated in that mitzvah? Is that mitzvah incumbent upon the person who owns this dangerous object or this dangerous animal? Or is it a mitzvah that's incumbent upon everyone? When it comes to lo tosin dom veisecha, he's holding on to this animal. He has a lo sase, he's violating lo sase by maintaining possession over the animal. But the Rambam goes on to say that there's an additional essay to destroy the animal. And then we have to know what that essay is. Is that essay a general essay that mandates a moral, ethical obligation incumbent upon every single person, or is it a unique mitzvah saseh that is incumbent upon the owner? And it's very interesting, because when the Rambam codifies the halacha of lotosim domim veisecha, which is clearly a lotas that addresses the owner of the animal who has the animal or any other pitfall, any danger in his possession, the Rambam says that he has a mitzvah saseh to remove that michshol. And it sounds like the Rambam is addressing the owner of the animal specifically. He's the one, or again, the owner of the bar, he's the one who has to get rid of it. And the Rambam adds a mitzvah say. If it's a unique, singular mitzvah that's incumbent upon the owner of the animal, we understand why the Rambam says that if you have a shor that's a dangerous shor, and I go ahead and I shecht your shor without your permission, I have to pay you 10 zehuvim kesef because I stole your mitzvah. Yeah. So the Rambam seems to assume that together with this los asev, lo tosin don ve'secha, there's a mitzvah say that, so to speak, escorts or is attached to this lotaseh, and it's a package deal which is comprised of both a lotaseh and an essay, both of which are addressing the owner of the animal. And therefore, at the end of this paragraph, about five lines up before the end, it says, "V'im came tikshi." We want to ask the following question: Am I the Rabbi Yochanan? Why does Rabbi Yochanan say, "Kol hakodim lahargon zocha"? Why is it that anyone who comes and kills these ferocious animals, he gets brownie points? Hello, afal pi deleka iser lahargon. We're not going to say that there's any violation in killing the animal because nobody owns this animal. You can't own this animal, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But mikol hakom, also came with the also a bailim legadlam. If the bailim are guilty, I should say, right? Guilty of violating lotosin dom ve'secha, and that's the yisod of Rabbi Yochanan, that's why they don't really have any rights to this animal. Is yeshal love, the owner of the animal has a mitzvah say lahasir mitshal, to remove the mitshal. So why does Rabbi Yochanan encourage anyone to come along and kill them? Why not wait till the bailim kill them? Or if we have to notify the bailim that this animal has to be put to death, that's our responsibility. When you have a mitzvah, maybe you don't know about the mitzvah, we'll tell you about the mitzvah. So that's the question he asks. Now, in the next paragraph, and I think we've discussed this in the past, he mentions a machlokas between the ketzos and the nesivos about whether you're obligated to force someone else, to compel him to fulfill a mitzvah. The ketzos says, no, I'm only chayev to make sure that you don't violate an avera, but as far as mitzvahs are concerned, I don't have the rights or the obligations to force you to fulfill a mitzvah. However, according to the nesivos, even when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, I force you to do that mitzvah. That's called kofin ala mitzvahs. And kofin ala mitzvahs means any rank and file citizen can force his friend to do a mitzvah. And if that be the case, Megadel, if somebody is raising a lion or a zev, an ari, also legadlo l'Rav Yochanan, v'neishel lo tosim do v'secha. And now we should say that I have a mitzvah to be mafrish you from an isur, and I have to force you to kill the animal. But yet Rav Yochanan says, no, you take the law into your own hands and you kill the animal. Why doesn't the halacha require that we notify the bailim that they have an obligation to kill the animal? And according to the Sivas, and even the Ketzos would agree, that when it comes to an Isur, we have a mitzvah to be mafresh someone from an Isur. We don't say, mind your own business, we have to get involved in your life. And if you are owning this animal that has to be killed because you violate the Isur l'tosin dom ve'secha, why does Rabbi Yochanan encourage everyone to take the law into their own hands and kill this animal? That is an obligation that should be coerced and forced on the owner of the animal. He has that mitzvah. He's involved in a los aseh and an essay. And this leads us to the main paragraph here, Dibra Masl Vihine. But I'm looking at the clock here, and I know they're going to start Mayrev soon in about 3 minutes. So what I'm going to try to do is at least give an introduction to this paragraph. And if you would like to continue on this line next week, then give me back the pages, or you hold the pages. I'd rather if you hold the pages, but I'm afraid you might lose the pages. He says that Reish Lakish says that you don't kill this animal until it killed a human being. And Rashi says, because Reish Lakish holds, you're allowed to raise these animals, claiming that you can domesticate them. Lufisha Adam Yachal Alamdam, a person can train them, Shalo Yaziku, and they won't do damages. Hilkoch, therefore, Shame Bailim Nikra Lehem, the ownership rights are extant. Velohavi Kehefker, this is not an ownerless lion, he owns the lion. The Asalahargonim Lohe Misu, Abel Ime Misu, then Sofa Mochiach Al Tchilosan, they've proven themselves guilty, and this animal that killed someone is not a ben tarbus. And says Rish Lakish, we don't have to bring them to a court, just kill them on the spot. And at this point he quotes the Yad Rama, who has a problem here to try to differentiate between these animals and all the other animals, because even in the case of other animals, once the animal proved himself to be a killer, we put him to death. So that's, I think, a good place to stop here. And I'm going to make a note of it, that we got up to Tej Reshutes, and we're up to the paragraph. So I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great week, and let's continue steiging away, because Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. So we got to rack up some points. As you see, any dangerous animals, it's called a code of zotra. You don't pull it to death.
Also, a lot of dangerous
animals. According to the concept.
Thank you,
Gary. I'm sorry, I'm going to throw the fun off.
Yeah, you were on the. Wait, no.
I was killing them all.
If the guy had intended it, hadn't got round to it yet.
But Rabbi Yochanan doesn't use that language. He doesn't say, notify the fellow that he has a mitzvah.
You see, you have an opportunity to miss on something like that. You can do so.
Again, when you say do it on his behalf, I mean, in all these cases of putting an animal to death and shchita and so forth, that's a mitzvah that you have to do yourself.
There's no shchita involved here, sir.
Well, skila, I don't know, whatever you do, but there's an act of killing the animal, and that's a mitzvah saseh. Again, we haven't exactly pinned down the nature of the mitzvah saseh. But the Rambam gives you the impression that mitzvah saseh is incumbent upon the owner of the animal. So why is Rabbi Yochanan recommending or advocating that any person should kill him? Why don't you give the chance to the owner of the animal? He's obligated to kill him.
How do you define a chance? 2 minutes? An hour?
I don't know. I mean, Bezdin's going to have to make that determination. Otherwise, he's stealing his mitzvah. You don't want to steal someone's mitzvah.
When you see somebody who has an opportunity to do the mitzvah and he's not doing the mitzvah, at what point do you say?
Right.